Anyway, today's a review day. We're going to cover all of what we've done in the timeline of truth in 35 minutes. So far, it's like a year and a half or more. And this has been really good. There's just so much and to go through the Word of God this way. But let's just start with prayer. By the way, I didn't mention this, but Jordan's stepmom, Judy Zander, her dad passed away. I want to say Friday. I just saw it last night, Dallas Zander. I think it was Friday night. He's 93. Judy Zander, they went here for years. And Jordan and Ethan were watching the kids Wednesday night. They had a whole shmoo. But they were all Dallas and Judy's kids. So anyway, it's really neat to see him. But they knew that he was going to pass. He's had one leg in the grave, it seems like, multiple times. I remember one time went down and gave blood for him. You know, because they thought they might need surgery and blood. So I've met him. He's a super nice guy. Dallas had wonderful things to say on Facebook about him, how, you know, and just welcomed into the family and how he's always so loving and caring and all. But anyway, he's with the Lord. He loved the Lord. He's a very strong believer and all. So, I mean, he definitely left a legacy of very good things. So if people don't officially notify me, I don't officially remember. So even if I do drink coffee, so I did remember, but just a little late. So, but anyway, keep them in your prayers. It's, like I said, it was something they knew that was coming. It was just a matter of time now. And so he's with the Lord. And he lived down in near Osceola. It's just west of there somewhere. So Seymour, does that sound right? Is there a Seymour down in that area? That's where they were at. So anyway. We're thankful to the Lord for 93 years of this gentleman's life. It's really, really a neat thing to get to know him. So, finally, somebody older than you are, huh, Marv? He looks at me and thinks like I'm a young punk. Well, I'm almost 52, and you're just so punky. So that's all right, too, because I am, right? Comparatively speaking, I got a lot to learn yet, don't I, Marv? Got a lot to see, so. And I accept that. I'm still learning as I go here, so. Yeah, my kids don't think so, though. They think I'm old and creaky. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do want to pray for Judy Zander's family and the loss of her father. And Lord, thank you for the legacy he left, the testimony and all the things that even his son-in-law, Dallas, who was just able to just honor his name on Facebook, that I saw last night, and it was really neat to see how he had so many kind things to say about this man who was very kind and very loving himself, and we just thank you for that example and for that testimony. Lord, would you help us in the time we have to be able to review what we've covered, and Lord, it's not going to be deep, it's going to be fast, but Lord, I just pray that you give us a sense of connection as we look it over today. And thank you for each person here that's represented, the souls, the Lord, the disciples that are here that desire to be like the Lord Jesus. And Lord, though we stumble, though we wrestle, it isn't because of lack of resources on your part. It's just a drifting heart, a forgetful heart. And Lord, we just desire to know you and know you more. And that's why we're here today. And I pray that you just help us as we study your word to grasp you as our mighty God and the giver of promises and the keeper of promises. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. First off, as I often do for a review, I'm going to go through the 12-point Bible overviews to give us an idea of where we're at. Were you in chapel when I did this? The 12-point Bible overview was midterms. And okay. I got everybody in the middle of midterms, and everyone like was up all night and stuff like that. And then I show up, and I'm going to cover the entire Bible in 35 minutes. So I did. I got it done. But anyway, it was well received because I said, put down your notes. If you need to sleep, go to sleep. All that, everybody liked it. But anyway, 12-point Bible overview. I kind of summarized the entire Bible chronologically in 12 points. There's 8 in the Old, 4 in the New, okay? So there's 4 events. four people. Moses, Joshua. You don't have this in your notes.
Second page.
It's in your note? Okay, it is part of it. Is the whole thing or just the... Okay, good. It's in there. Okay. Kings, captivity, return, Savior, church, end times, eternity. Okay, and I would encourage you to memorize those. They're not hard, and you can do them. And I did them in a way, I tell people, I went through Walk Through the Bible, if you're familiar with that, and they had 71 points for the Old Testament. And it was good, and I remembered it, but I'm like, there's no way I'm going to remember all of this. Because it's just too much. So I simplified stuff. I actually took these two from them, but the rest of it, I consolidated to 12 main points. And by the way, 71 points was just the Old Testament. So I was like, there's no way. And I get over five and I run out of fingers and stuff like that. But anyway, so I did this so I could have a way to review and remember and all of that. But also then it gives you a perspective. Whenever you're reading, you can always figure out what slot you're in and all that. And that was very hard. When I went through Old Testament law, history, and poetry, which is like Genesis through... Ecclesiastes or Song of Solomon, or the Old Testament prophets was another class, or New Testament survey. I was just like, where does all this fit in, you know? And it was very difficult, actually. So this kind of helps in this way. I'm going to look and see what you have. Yeah, so I have the main points up above, but I only have the four below it. So notice here, four events. Oh, let's see here. And we call it creation. And we have motions for these. The creation, the fall, flood, and Babel. And you can actually see all of the lessons that we did in Genesis in that chart there. All the way through, we covered all of those. And I don't even remember. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16... 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. We had 23 lessons, and we spent very little time in creation because we'd just gone through the entire creation account in like 6 months in the Sunday morning service. Like, for example, Genesis 1, 26, and 27, during the morning service, I spent 5 Sundays on be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. So, I mean, we had spent a lot of detail, so that's why we didn't have any more than we did. But creation, fall, flood, and Babel, the key points, we did cover like Cain and Abel, for example. We covered, just different stuff going on here. Babel is like 10 verses, but it's a life or history-altering occasion, so that's why it's there. I think that's chapter 10. And then you have four people, and these are easy. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And Joseph, by the way, is the majority, chapter 37 all the way to chapter 50. But by the way, how much time does this take? Creation, fall, flood, and Babel, roughly. Or if you want to tie them both together. This is all the book of Genesis. In other words, 1/12 of the entire outline is Genesis. And you might think it's belaboring it, but how much time is that roughly? It's a third of all of history. So, and I honestly believe people skim over Genesis, and Genesis is the foundational teaching that everything else is built on. All the way through the New Testament, Jesus points back to Genesis, you know, the creation and all of that. In the epistles, Paul points back to Genesis. So he talks about, the women dressing modestly, for example, and blah, blah, blah. And he says his reasons are that Adam was first formed, then Eve. That's not a cultural statement. it's an acultural statement. Everything's built upon that. He's saying the order in which God created is the order in which God intended to create it, and that's what everything is built on, even through the church. And then Eve was deceived in the transgression. Adam did it knowingly and willfully. But roughly 2,000 years, this is like around, I think it was like 400 years, maybe 300. So it's huge, but that's 1/3 of all of history. Okay, which is what's massively huge. We're right in Moses here, and this actually spells an acronym. So there's M-O-S-E-S, and we have Mass Exit, which is actually the book of Exodus. So we're just right there. Okay, then we have ordinances given, which is the Ten Commandments, but actually more. The Ten Commandments is a summary statement. There's over 600 commandments in the Old Testament. 613, if I understand correctly. So the Ten Commandments is a summary statement, but God goes into a lot more detail. You shall not murder, but also there's other things about murder. What if you accidentally kill somebody? What if this is that? What if, you know, all of these different things. You don't commit adultery, but also what if you rape somebody? You're put to death in the Old Testament. Okay, it covers things like that. So it goes into more detail. It isn't just the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments is, again, more of a summary statement. Okay? Spies sent. So that's in Exodus as well. Ordinance given. Those are all three Exodus. Extended wandering. What book is that, you know? Numbers. Yeah, Numbers. And then the second law, the second giving of the law. It's another way to say ordinance is given, but it spells M-O-S-E-S, so I had to come up with something that started with an S, right? So second law, and that's the book of Deuteronomy. Deut is two. Deuteronomos is law. It's second law. So that's the first, the second through the fifth books of the Old Testament, right? So it gives you a quick summary there. After Moses, Joshua comes. Draw strength. Moses, my servant, is dead. Defeat the enemy, divide the land, and decide. Choose you this day whom you will serve, either the gods on the other side of the river or God. But for me and my house, what? We will serve the Lord, right? So this is chapter 1. This is chapter 24, and this is everything between. This is roughly only 15 years, believe it or not. 120 years. Even though it's four books, 120 years, all. Judges, everyone that knew Joshua and the elders that knew Joshua, they walked in the ways of God. Once they died, and everyone did what was right in what? And it's interesting, they did what was what?
Right.
In their own eyes. They thought they were doing what was right, but they defined what was right. Okay? So, Judges, when we get to it, it's they fall into sin. Everything they do what was right in their own eyes, but that's called sin. Okay? And then God would turn them over to some kind of slavery. And a lot of times it was even regional kind of things. But the Midianites, the Philistines, the whatever the case might be, different people would come up and take over, take all their weapons. Was it the Midianites? They took all their weapons so that they couldn't do anything, right? And then God would send a savior or a deliverer. When you think of judges, it's not someone with a robe saying you're guilty and you're innocent. It's someone that delivered them. So that's why we use the term savior, okay? They were deliverers. So the book of Judges is really a book of deliverers, okay? And they would do this in cycles. They would do that, cry out to the Lord. God would send somebody. And there's at least seven main cycles of this repeating. And this is roughly 435 years. And then the last main judge and the first prophet, first primary prophet is
Samuel.
I'm like, it starts with S. And so he comes at the very end of that, the beginning of 1 Samuel. By the way, the book of Ruth takes place during this time. And one thing that, this is how I remember, but Samuel ordained the first king. Okay? All right, so that's how you remember each one of these connects. So Joshua was his, you know, Moses' right-hand man, and then after Joshua, the judges came, and that's pretty easy because that's just book order. But then we have three kings that are listed, and these are known. By the way, there were kings in the book of Judges. Okay, I don't know if you know that, but there are regional ones and different things like that. They fought over things. There was another Saul, for example. There was another King Saul and things. So there was kings, but this was the first God-ordained king. Okay, so Saul was the first one of the tribe of Benjamin, then David, and then Solomon. And notice S, D, S, and then the last one is D, but it's not the name of a person. It's divided kingdom. Solomon's son Rehoboam divided the kingdom. And that's when you had 10 northern tribes and 2 southern tribes. Okay? By the way, each one of these reigned, interestingly enough, for 40 years. So you can add that up, but it's roughly 120 years again. Rehoboam reigned like 3 years and blew it, right? So, again, look at 2,000 years here. We haven't even covered 1,000 years here. Okay? This is kind of, the way I remember this, is the captivity. There was 2 main captivities, and they relate to the 2 kingdoms. So the northern tribes were carried off in 722 BC by Assyria. Not everybody. They would take some and bring some. They would try to mix everybody up so you lose your cultural distinctiveness, your language, and your religion and all of that. Homogenization of culture. That's what they were trying to do. Okay? And then you have the northern, right? And then you have the southern tribes, and that's what you hear more about. By the way, this is 2 Chronicles and 2 Kings would be here. Okay. This is 1 Samuel all the way to the Kings, right? 586 BC is when, let's see here, Babylon carried off more. Have you heard of Nebuchadnezzar? That was him. Okay. And by the way, who was carried off during that time? Yeah, so remember Daniel. Okay, so that gives you a little bit of perspective here. On the return, and this is interesting, you never hear of the northern tribes returning in mass. That doesn't mean that they weren't all carried away, right? They carried some away and brought some back. That's why you had the Samaritans, because they were mixed breed, you know, there. And so they would have the Jews would have no dealings with the Samaritans. So they were there. There's no lost tribes or anything. They just didn't all come back at once. The southern tribes came back from Babylon in 3 waves, okay? And I use the offensive term Zen. It sounds like a Far Eastern religion, but this is how you remember it. Zerubbabel returned, and he rebuilt the temple. You have the prophets Haggai and Zechariah that prophesied during that time. By the way, all the prophets fit into here. So after you get the book of Nehemiah, all of the books that follow after Nehemiah fit in here somewhere. Okay? Zerubbabel, he brought back about 50,000 people. And by the way, it was a decree by the King Cyrus that was most likely written by Daniel. He was a co-regent, if you recall, for 3 different kings. And he lived to the 2nd year of Cyrus the king. He didn't return, but most likely Cyrus was prophesied several hundred years by Isaiah before Cyrus was ever in existence, that he would decree and send the people of God back. So we think that Daniel had a lot to do with that. 50,000 people returned. They got all of the articles from the temple and all back. They sent, it was an entourage. The next one is Ezra. And he went back, and by the way, it took forever to rebuild the temple. It was like 12 years because people were doing their own thing. They were building their own houses and all that. God says, why do you build all your fancy stuff and I don't have the thing? You know, that was Haggai talks about here. You're all lazy on the couch kind of stuff, right? Ezra, he rebuilds the people. He comes and finds that they're doing the exact same thing. They're intermarrying with people that aren't God's people, and he gets there. By the way, he doesn't take any kind of a protection from the king. He believed that, you know, that would be wrong. He brought about 5,000 people, and he rebuilt. He got there and he tore his clothes. They weren't doing the sacrifice. He said, you're doing the exact same thing why we got hauled off here in the first place. Okay, so he was a scribe, so he was very knowledgeable in the law. There's a big gap. Well, no, there's a big gap here, I think, of like 50 years. And then Ezra came, and then Ezra and Nehemiah were contemporaries. But Nehemiah came, there's the Z-E-N, and he came pretty much by himself, but he rebuilt the wall. He asked the king, he was the king's cupbearer. Nehemiah's the last. He built the wall in what? 60 days or something like that? And they couldn't rebuild the temple in 12 years? That shows you the difference. And he was under attack a lot of the time. So it shows you what people can do if they want. So Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah. Nehemiah is the last historical book of the Old Testament. The only book that possibly could have come after that was a prophetic book of possibly Malachi right after this time. But Nehemiah is the last historical book in the Old Testament. That's when the Old Testament ends, chronologically. All of the rest that comes after, the Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, all of those fit before Nehemiah's time. Okay, that helps you chronologically fit. Okay? So there's the whole Old Testament. By the way, this is, how long were they there? 70 years, right? That was these people here. This was longer. So obviously a little more, but they were in the 70 years in captivity in Babylon. So there's a couple hundred years if you add them all together. And then here is a period of like 50 to 60 years. And then there's 400 silent years. There's nothing. Okay. And that's on your chart there too. You can see, you can't hardly read it, but it's at the top there. But then you have the Savior comes. You have John the Baptist, prepare the way of the Lord. You know, in the different stuff we kind of looked at during the Christmas time. But the birth and then his ministry, death, resurrection, and ascension. This covers all of the Gospels, roughly 30 to 35 years. We don't really know. Some people say Jesus was 30, 33, 36. It really depends on the thing, but probably about 33 years or so. But that was that time, right? Okay, because of the difference. When was Jesus born? It wasn't 1 AD. They think it was probably 6 BC now with the adjustments and calendars and so on. I have two different ones here, so I always get goofed up. But there's Pentecost, the beginning of the church. And then there's persecution, which starts and doesn't end. And then you have Peter to the Jews and Paul to whom? Gentiles, right? Roughly, what, 70 years again, maybe, total. So again, compared to Genesis, none of this hardly matters, you know. By the way, King David, to give you an idea, Abraham was around 2000 BC. King David was roughly 1000 BC, to give you pace. We think creation was probably around 4000 BC. Pastor Jim has photos. Your wife just called you a fossil.
I know.
I just wanted everyone else to know that. Okay. End times, there's three primary events. There's lots of events, but there's three primary events, right? What's the first one? The rapture. And then the tribulation. And then the millennium. Okay? Rapture. Believers ends in the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to put Bema because that's the word. Tribulation ends in another judgment, Armageddon, and then the judgment of the sheep and the goats. And those aren't animals, by the way. Those are people. And then in the millennium, Jesus reigns for how long? Excuse me. A lot of people don't get that. It says 1,000 years, and they're like, well, it doesn't mean 1,000 years, because, well, what would it say if it did mean 1,000 years?
1,000 years.
Yeah, okay. All right, so, and it says it 6 times, too, like, just in case people don't get it, the verse 5. But this ends in what? Remember, the Satan is loose for a small season, and he gathers an innumerable amount of people to fight against God again. Satan has never been accused of being really smart, right? He's powerful and all that, but he's snuffed out. He's immediately thrown into the lake of fire, the beast and the false prophet, right? So there's that uprising, and there's not even a fight, right? There's not really a fight, because God is the almighty God of the universe. There's nothing that's even close. You know, there's no two forces fighting. It's like, no, God is the force and you're not, right? And then ultimately it's the great white throne judgment, and people are judged there, right? So there's judgments at each one. 1,000 years, 7 years, instant, right? So at least 1,007 years. That's assuming that the tribulation begins right after the rapture. Ask me after it's over and I'll give you a specific time. Eternity. There's only two points here. There's unbelievers forever away from God in torment, in eternal punishment. Believers forever with God in blessing. And so shall you ever be with the Lord. And when it starts describing the new heaven and the new earth, and there's no sun, because you don't need a sun. I mean, we're jilted by the movies and stuff we've seen, because all the special effects, because we've seen everything, but we really haven't, because it's all fake. This won't be fake. It's like the whole world will just kind of glow because Jesus is there. You know, and there's, what's it like to live in a world with no sin? No clue. What's it like to live in a world with no sin in you? I'm coughing. You wake up and you're like, hurt and stiff and all that. You know, all of those kind of things, and you don't know what it's like. And that's what it'll be like. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So those are the two possibilities. You're either with God or against God, and that's decided before you get there. Lake of fire forever and ever, or the new heaven and new earth, and the new Jerusalem. There's no night. They don't have to shut the gates. Why would you shut the gates? There's no bad people here, right? There's no sickness. There's no hospitals. There's no funeral homes. There's not even a counseling center. Because no one's depressed or worried or what. It's like, can you imagine? So that is, in a nutshell, chronologically, the entire Bible. And we have 5 minutes to cover the rest. If you would, look at your first sheet. And it's just a summary there. You can see the foundation of creation, the origin of sin. God provides the solution for sin. God emphasizes children. We talked about that 2 weeks ago again. I am amazed at how believers are so blinded in our day with regard to that. Sin spreads rapidly. God judges sin, ultimately flooding the entire world. God scatters mankind. Then God works through Abram. There's a little bit about Isaac, but Isaac's kind of like the quiet one of the four. Abraham, you know, it's really drawn out that it's like he's 75, and then he's, you know, he doesn't have his son till he's 100, and all of this stuff that God does to help Abraham believe God, and it was accounted for him for righteousness. The concept of salvation by faith is found in Genesis 15. Abraham believed God. With regard to, interestingly enough, look at the stars, so shall your descendants be. And the Bible says Abraham believed God, being fully convinced of what God had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's Romans 4. God works through Isaac. Again, like Isaac's the quiet one, really. God works through Jacob. I think a lot of us maybe can identify with Jacob to some degree or another, because it's a faulty life. And God finally works in him and through him and actually blesses him, even through all of his poor choices and so on, to have the 12 tribes. Then there's Exodus. That's what we've done through just this year, or late last year. We've got the plagues. This one here, the half sheet, if you flip a couple through past the Genesis one that we've already covered, this is out of the Bible Knowledge Commentary. It just breaks down the plagues and also the gods that the plagues address. God had a message for Egypt. He wasn't just trying to get Pharaoh to let him go. In fact, he told Moses, I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will not, so that I will get the glory and all the world will know that I am God. So he wasn't just trying to get Israel free, otherwise he could have done that on day one. Throw a snake down, have Pharaoh run away and say, run. Instead, it was like, Pharaoh's like, no, I'm not going to let you go. And eventually, God even hardened his heart because he wanted to show the nation Egypt and all the rest, and Israel, how powerful he was. But it addressed all the gods of Egypt. Every one of those was like spitting in the face of one of their gods, or one or more of their gods. It's like, oh yeah? You're the god of the river, huh? Well, how about this? Let's make your rivers, all the water, blood. How's that for you? You know, just kind of, oh, one of your gods is the god of the flies, the lord of the flies. Well, how about this? I'm going to send all these flies here. You do something about it. Right? Every one of them was to show how impotent their gods were. The next one here is a chart I just finished last night. Kind of describes what happened. I highlight Pharaoh's request. There's certain times Pharaoh says things, please take it away. And when do you want the frogs to leave? Tomorrow. That's the weirdest request of all, I think. It's like one more night with the frogs, right? Then God starts separating the Israelites so that all of the stuff that happens after the lice ends up only affecting the Egyptians, but not Israel. And so I have a column that talks about that. Every one of them has to do with the Pharaoh's heart. Sometimes Pharaoh hardens his own heart. Sometimes God helps him by hardening it as well. All the way to the very end. And then, by the way, Pharaoh hardens his heart again and chases after the nation Israel. Worst choice he ever made. Egypt took like two generations to get back up to any kind of world power after that. Wiped out their entire military. So, all right, so just overview charts and all of that. You've seen the middle charts before. You haven't seen the back page or the front page, at least in its entirety. So, questions or comments? Next week, we start the last plague. It's like multiple chapters. One is the plague, promise of the plague, the preparation of the plague, and also the establishment of an ongoing observance by Israel year after year of the Passover so that they'll remember. All of that happens before they leave. And then they leave, and then Pharaoh chases them. And that and goes for several chapters too. And there's so many things that we'll learn through that too. But we'll take at least, I don't know, we'll be in the Passover at least 2 weeks proper. But then it doesn't end when they leave, right, too. So there's so many other things. So, but anyway, we can relate a lot to the Israelites too. On their sins that they commit and all that, the complaining that they do. You know, they just got liberated from 400 years of slavery. Now they're whining about what they eat. Isn't that so like us? You know, it's like, wow, you know, you're welcome kind of thing. So anyway, it's good stuff though. So God really gives us a lot to chew on in the book of Exodus. So, and by the way, the book of Exodus is the hinge point of all of Israel's history, because that's when they really are birthed as a nation. They're delivered by God, and throughout all of the rest of the Old Testament, He's the God who brought them out of the land of Egypt. That's the thing they keep getting pointed back to. Look what God did. Look what God did. So it's a picture of salvation, deliverance, a lot of stuff. Questions or comments? We're right here before the mass exit, right? We're just about there. All right. We covered the entire Bible, then we reviewed some more. Time to quit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for, again, your wonderful love for us, your word. And Lord, we just readily admit that we forget so much so quickly. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to meditate on your word day and night, Lord, so that we are not missing the point of our existence and missing the blessing of your provision. And we just pray that you would help each one of us to walk purposefully with you this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.